Welcome to sermons from St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Minot, North Dakota.
St. Paul's is anchored in the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and for the world.
The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread, so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him a king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. In our reading from the Gospel of John, Jesus multiplied, yes, fish and bread to feed 5,000 plus people who had gathered by the Sea of Tiberias. Our reading says that these people, they sat down in a great deal of grass, so I imagine it was really comfortable, and they were given bread and fish. So much that they were filled and satisfied. Yes, so much that they were filled and satisfied. Indeed, they were saturated with food, stuffed to the rim. They were comfortable in the green grass. However, that is where things went off course. You see, after they were filled and satisfied, as they sat in that grass, they thought that they would seize Jesus to let the good times roll. The thought process is rather simple. They thought to themselves, "Jesus multiplied bread and fish. He filled our bellies. He did this with a miraculous power. And so, if he did this with power, then number two, let us grab that power and then proclaim him as king, so that we can rid ourselves once and for all of Herod and the Romans and have a great utopic society with plenty of abundance and full tummies." Now, on the surface, it seems quite good. Not too bad, as we would say. Jesus comforts them with food in the grass by the Sea of Galilee, and if they crown him as king, they can continue to have Jesus make them feel economically and politically comfortable. And that, my friends, is where we must be careful. You see, the people had made Jesus into a means to another end. Jesus had become a means into another end. In other words, they wanted Jesus not for Jesus' sake, but for what Jesus could deliver to them, what he could do for them. They had free bread and free fish before, and they wanted to have a little bit more. They wanted to keep the good times rolling and even expand the good times even more. Now, unfortunately, there's a tendency among people today to do the same thing. For example, many people have had profound religious experiences in churches, or intense healings at a church, at a hospital, or tremendous financial success, all in the name of Jesus. Now, while many of these situations can be very good, What isn't good is that people will often attempt to keep these good times rolling by grabbing a hold of Jesus and telling him what he must do to continue the good things in their lives. It is believed in their mind that if Jesus delivered them on these particular things, these good things, that he should, well, obviously continue to do the same with other things into the future. Now, if you do not quite believe me on this, if you perhaps doubt me on this, just listen to the prayers of us Americans, us American Christians. As we listen to the prayers of many American Christians, many of the prayers that are spoken by, yes, even well-intentioned Christians, do not ask God for help, but they actually come and seize God by the throat and demand what he must do. Many Christians do not come before God as a beggar, but storm the gates of heaven with religious-sounding dictates before God Almighty. And prayer, it no longer is a reverent approach before God, but has become an invasion of our will into the realm of the sacred to bend the elbow of God. In the end, what those people at the Sea of Galilee were attempting to do was put Jesus on a leash. They were indeed putting Jesus on a leash. They were attempting to tame Jesus, put him in a cage, seize him, and get him to do what they wanted, when they wanted it, and how they wanted it. And the same is true for the American church today. Frankly, we like our comforts. We want Jesus to continue these comforts while being a comfortable Savior to us. Perhaps another way to talk about this is this. The people were trying to make Jesus their Messiah on their own terms, rather than Jesus being a Messiah on the terms of the Father. And so, to the point, my friends, double-check your perspective of Jesus. Is Jesus nothing more than a spiritual lapdog for you? Is Jesus on a leash where he must do his tricks for you when you tell him, sit, jump, roll over, good boy, Jesus? Is Jesus nothing more than a spiritual butler for you? A butler that you expect to follow your orders, to grant you your heart's desires? Go fetch me some comfort, Jesus, and while you are at it, make my dreams come true. Or do we treat Christ as a divine waiter? Do we demand that he act and deliver to us in the way that we want, everything on a silver platter, as they say? Well, Jesus responds to us saying, is there anything else I can do for you today? If so, we're committing idolatry. Yes, we're breaking the first commandment. Just like the people of the Sea of Galilee did that day, they tried to seize Christ by force, and they wanted to make him into a version of what they expected a Savior to be for them, and then to tell him to dance, and Jesus, well, he should dance for them. But that, my friends, is not Christianity. Indeed, it is not Christianity, but idolatry. Yes, idolatry. Dear saints, when we view Christianity on the basis of what we expect Christ to be and do for us, 9 times out of 10, we end up where the people of the Sea of Galilee ended up, idolatry. We end up worshiping, following, and praying to a false Jesus, which is no Jesus at all, but an empty and powerless idol. Frankly, and we should say tragically, we have all heard the many stories of former Christians who have given up on Christianity because, well, it did not work the way they expected. Are they right? Are they right about their concern, their complaint? Many of them are indeed right. They're indeed right. It didn't work out. And the reason being, what they gave up on was a false Christ, an idol. They sought Christianity with bad motives and unrealistic intentions. And Christ? The Christ, he would not heed to their expectations and their demands. And so in their minds, they say that Christ let them down, when in reality they were let down by an idol, a God that does not exist except in the imagination of their mind. Dear friends, we hear clearly that the people of the Sea of Galilee were so enthusiastic that they were about to grab Jesus and make him into a king. However, We hear in our scripture reading from today, Jesus would not let this happen. And so he slipped off and went back up the mountain by himself. He actually withdrew. He withdrew because he would not allow himself to be controlled by the mob crowd. He did not and would not lower himself to their expectations, their demands, their agendas. And for this, we can say, God be praised. God be praised. Just think for a moment, if you will. If the people of the Sea of Galilee had their way with Jesus, they would have actually had all sorts of free food, perhaps for life, and then a Savior who could shrug off that Roman Empire and create a glorious utopic society for them. Ah, things would have been grand. But then again, what would they not have had? What they would not have had was a bloodstained cross and an empty tomb. Naively, the people of the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, they were attempting to exchange a bloodstained cross for, well, a full belly. They were attempting to exchange an empty tomb for an independent Israel. God have mercy. God have mercy indeed. You've heard it said before, Christ is not the kind of Savior that you want, but the kind of Savior that you actually need. And that is exactly what we are learning from our gospel reading of John this morning. You see, when we attempt to make an idol out of Jesus, he will consistently and constantly withdraw, not allowing us to fashion and form him into our own image. He will not bend to our demands. He will not stoop to our bad expectations. He will not heed our agendas, for he is not tame. Indeed, for he is not tame. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he reigns not under our thumbs, but at the right hand of the Father in glory and majesty. Baptized saints, yes, dear saints, Jesus will not be your butler. He will not be your waiter. He will not be a spiritual lapdog for you, and he certainly will not be an idol. But he'll gladly be your atonement. He will gladly be your substitute. He will gladly be your forgiveness. He'll gladly be your wisdom and your sanctification, your all in all, your eternal life. And the reason being, he is not the Savior that you and I want, but the Savior that we actually need and actually have this day. He is the God-man who redeemed you, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won you from all sins, from death and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that each and every one of you might be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Your Jesus is not the kind of Savior that you want, but the kind of Savior that you need, the kind of Savior that you already have, bloodied on a cross, risen from the grave, forgiven of all of your sins in Christ. That is your Savior. That is the one you have this day and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon.
You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog
at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit St. Paul's website
at www.stpaulsminot.org.
The Lord bless and keep you.